Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From Lower Manhattan, the center of the financial world, this is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning. I'm Jeff Greenfield, joined today by our regulars, Joe Nocera with the New York Times and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. It's been a week since the killings at Sandy Hook Elementary School, and the fallout continues, even in the financial community. The pension fund for California's teachers questioned its investment with the private equity firm Cerberus because Cerberus owns Freedom Group. That's the company that makes the weapon that was used in the shootings. For its part, Cerberus says it's now looking to sell the company. Rana, let's start right there. How surprised are you that a private equity firm would look to dump a company because of unpleasant news like this? Is this uncommon?
Well, I'm a little surprised by the speed at which they did it, but I think that it means that they're taking a good hard look at what this company looks like in the future as an investment opportunity, and they're seeing that government may, in fact, be cracking down on gun control laws. Already, after President Obama was elected, you saw a run on ammunition and guns because there was an expectation even then that this was going to become a political issue.
Let me just follow up for a minute. Is it the government they're worried about or the public pressure, the public response to what happened?
I think ultimately it's about the balance of power between companies and government. And, you know, after the financial crisis in 2008, there was this idea that all the power was going to swing to government, and it didn't happen. But I think now there is a real pushback against companies that are perceived to be on the wrong side of things like guns, like tax issues, like job creation. I mean, you can see with Apple moving jobs into the U.S. after being put under pressure for outsourcing so much to China, that this is happening in a lot of different spheres.
Let's point out here, though, that Cerberus is not exactly doing this for reasons of morality. They've already pulled their money out, as private equity firms often always do. They've already laid off tons of employees at these firearm things. It's called in the business a roll-up. You buy a bunch of small companies in a particular industry, you roll it up into one big company. They've already done that.
But there's a broader question here, that if I'm an investor, should I actually take into account how, to use the phrase, socially responsible a business might be, or what I'm looking at, the bottom line?
Well, there are a lot of people who are now trying to invest in a more ethical way. There's something close to $4 trillion invested that way. The real problem for me is it's often hard to say what is a social responsible business and what isn't it. Apple is, again, another really good example. You know, they make these wonderful products, and they pay people well in the United States, and everybody loves them, except that they manufactured their products at a factory in China that's had a lot of suicides, and where it's often viewed that Apple is putting the pressure on them. So is that an ethical company or not an ethical company?
And I want to broaden this out a little bit, because we talk about socially responsible investing all the time, but there's a different question here. The conduct of the companies themselves, if you're an official in that company, what they make, what they sell. Now, assuming a company is making something legal, if you're a company executive, don't you have a responsibility simply to maximize the bottom line, or do you have a responsibility to say, we can make a lot of money doing that, but we shouldn't?
Well, that's a perennial question. Is the business of business business, or does business have some higher moral purpose? And I think, again, this is about a sort of a pendulum shift post-2008. I think when it was easy to make a lot of money, people don't really care as much about how you're making it. When it gets harder, I think the spotlight goes on companies, both from shareholders, from government, and from the public.
Funny, because I would think when things get tougher, they'd say, we don't care how you make the money, we want the money.
Well, a good example of this is what happened with tobacco, maybe 15 years ago or so. You know, the line always was, we're selling a legal product. And they were selling a legal product. But at a certain point, society basically said, you have to change the way you do this. And there was the scandals, and there were the documents, and so on and so forth. And now, one result of that is that the tobacco company is now regulated by the FDA.
So if you want to be a socially responsible investor, granted, Joe's your problem, have we seen it make a difference? Is that an example of a difference where investor pressure has actually made companies change what they do or what they sell?
On the margins, I would say. I wouldn't say in huge ways. Companies now want to feel that they're socially responsible because it's what their employees want and it's often what their shareholders want. And so they do all these things. They join these corporate responsibility groups and so on and so forth. But it's sometimes hard to tell whether it's a sham or whether it's real.
I think that there's somewhat of a difference between socially responsible investing and politically astute investing, which is, I think, going to become the bigger deal. It's going to be about, well, what are companies going to come under pressure for? What is the government going to go after? And what is the public going to insist that, that legislators go after? And I think that that's going to become a real issue in the future.
Well, I don't know if this is going to pop up next week, but it's time we ask that perennial question about next week, which is what you guys are going to be watching next week. Joe Nocera with The New York Times, Rana Fruher with Time Magazine. Rana, you're up first.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking about housing. I think that 2012 is going to be remembered as the year when housing turned around. We just saw some new stats this week showing that sales are up strongly, prices are going up, and I think it's going to be interesting over the next few weeks and next couple of months even to see how that bullishness around housing helps to counter what's going on with the fiscal cliff and with the other problems in the economy, because people tend to be especially happy when housing prices are going up. That's one of the things that can make people feel very confident. And I think it'll be interesting to see if that can counteract some of the other bad news in the economy.
Joe.
Well, I am looking towards Christmas spending in War Road, Minnesota.
Of course.
Yes, naturally. The reason is because it's the headquarters of a company called Marvin Windows and Doors. They employ about 4,300 people in that town. And they have not laid off a single employee despite tough times these last two or three years. But one of the ways they've pulled back on spending is they cut out a yearly profit-sharing bonus that they gave all the employees. Later today, they will be holding a meeting, and their employees will be getting, just in time for Christmas, a small yearly profit-sharing bonus.
And I'm going to be looking to see more proof of the amazing clout that this broadcast has. We've been talking for weeks about the abject failure of the government to bring criminal charges against bankers involved in serious financial depredations. And Rana?
And they've been listening because UBS has become the latest global bank to be taken down in the LIBOR scandals. There are a bunch of folks that have been manipulating global interest rates. The bank is going to have to pay over $1 billion in fines, and some of those bankers may even go to jail.
A story we'll be following along with all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can also take this program with you as a podcast available for free on iTunes. I'm Jeff Greenfield. This is Money Talking from WNYC. Thanks for listening.